If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is where we're going to be at this evening. And my goal is to give you a message that's going to help you and be an encouragement to you and just be a help in your life. And that's my goal tonight. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, if you're turning in your Bibles and you're going to Hebrews chapter 11, you probably are automatically already thinking, I know what he's going to be talking about. And you're right. I'm going to be talking about faith. We're going to be talking about faith tonight. And faith and trials is the title of this message or sermon, however way you want to term it. Faith and trials, Hebrews chapter 11 is what we're going to be looking at. Before you get, while you're turning there, I have a question for you. If you were to drive a car, what is something that is absolutely essential that you absolutely need it in order for your car to function? Anyone? Gas. Your car, if you could have a perfectly brand new car, and if you don't have gas in that thing, it's not going to go anywhere. Now, if you're a modern person, you're driving an electric car, you need electricity, okay? You still need some form of something to get that car running, okay? Whether it be gasoline, electricity. Preferably, if you're driving an electricity car or electric car, preferably be a Tesla. Anyways, that's side point. That's my view on that, okay? It means absolutely nothing. But anyways, cars, if you're driving a car, a gas is absolutely necessary for that car. How about your phone? How many of you have a cell phone? This is the 21st century. Praise the Lord. Everyone in this room is raising their hand except for a child. If you have a phone, what do you do almost every single night? You charge it. Your phone needs electricity. Otherwise, after about 12 hours, if you're lucky, maybe 8, your phone will die. Or if you're lucky, you may have one of those little battery packs that you just put in your pocket. For those of you that are extreme users, okay, the teens probably know exactly what I'm talking about, where the adults maybe not 100% sure what I'm talking about. But anyways, you need electricity. Now, if I go to Red Robin, praise the Lord, let's just pause there for a minute. And I order the Southern Charm burger. How many of you know what burger I'm talking about here? Oh, my soul. Some of you, I'm not sure about this crowd. don't know what the Southern Charm burger is. Okay, if you go to Red Robin and you order a hamburger and they just give you a bun and lettuce, hopefully you're mad. I'm just saying, hopefully you're angry at that point, because if I go to Red Robin and I don't have a hamburger on that bun, there's a major problem, okay? Now, if you're a vegetarian and you order a veggie burger, I won't hold that against you, but if you're just ordering a bun and lettuce, you got some issues, okay? I'm just pausing there for a minute, okay, and saying that. Now, if you go to Red Robin, you want a burger. McDonald's, you want a burger, okay? Burger King, you want a burger. Not so much Burger King. It's all good. All right. One thing that I just mentioned about all those things is there's something that is absolutely essential to all those things that you need. You have a car, you need gas. You have a phone, you need to charge it every night. You go to Red Robin, you need to have a burger. Praise the Lord. Okay. And a freckled lemonade. Okay. You need those things. Those are essentials. Now, in the Christian life, it's much the same. You need faith. Without faith, that's the basis of everything that we believe. And so you need faith. And so if you look at your Bible, go ahead and open it up there. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 there. Okay? It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now drop down to verse 6. And here's, if you will, the clincher. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Who? God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, and then verse 6, and honestly, the whole chapter is talking about, it is telling us the necessity of faith. Without faith, we're lost. Now you'll be thinking, what is faith? What is faith? Now if you were to go on your phone, you would ask Siri, since this is the 21st century, if you were to ask Siri what faith is, she would probably take you to the dictionary page. And this is what that page would say. Complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Belief, trust, especially in a higher power. But look at that first phrase, complete trust or confidence in someone or something. As Christians, that complete trust is God. Faith. Now, how do we learn something that we cannot see? You don't go to college and they don't have a course on Faith 101. You don't go to a church and they talk about or they have a course on faith. While it may be mentioned, it may be talked about a lot, it may be preached on, as it is going to be tonight. But a lot of times, how do we learn something that we can't see? Faith is not something that is tangible. And so, we come to the first question, what is faith and what does it look like? What is faith and what does it look like? Secondly, what do you do when you realize fear has gripped you and you're not sure what to do? And now you'll be thinking, man, how'd you jump to that? Because a lot of times we have faith in the good times. Christmas time is a good time. I hope everyone thinks that. I do. I love Christmas, okay? We have faith in the good times. A lot of times when our faith wavers, if you will, is during the hard times. A lot of times our faith will wane during trials, during struggles. And so this evening, I want to show you a group of people that when they experienced a mountaintop experience, they experienced something amazing. They saw miracles from God. And then the next day, they're at a very, very low spot in their faith. So we're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 14. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter 14. Now, if you know your Bible at all, you know I'm about to talk about Moses. Moses is perhaps one of my favorite characters in all the Bible. Moses is someone that was, honestly, he put up with a lot. I can't imagine leading 2 million or plus people through the wilderness. And then along the way, they're complaining and moaning and griping along the whole way through. Okay? But before we get to that point, we're going to see something tonight that sets them off on that journey. In Hebrews chapter 14, we're going to come in verse 1. We're going to see that Moses is against the Red Sea. So let me just give you a little bit of a backdrop of what's happening here so you understand fully. For those of you that maybe don't come to church normally or you're not familiar with this portion of passage, let me go and explain and give you the backdrop of what's happening here. For 400 years approximately, the Israelites have been in captivity. 400 years. That's generation after generation after generation that have been in captivity. Generations do not know what it means to be free. This was the Israelites. They didn't know they've been in captivity for 400 years and they've been asking for a deliverer, and God sends Moses along the way. And Moses comes along into the scene, and he flees Egypt, and he goes to a desert. In that desert, he wanders for 40 years, and I honestly believe God teaches him some things. Moses sees a burning bush, and then through that burning bush, God tells him to go to Egypt because he is to take out the Israelites out of Egypt and free them from bondage. So Moses follows God's command, and he does that. Now he gets to Egypt, and no doubt he is met with opposition. If you know your Bible, Pharaoh's not the happiest of dudes, if you will. Okay, he doesn't want to let the Israelites go. And so through a series of plagues, we see that God has to, if you will, battle down the hatches of Pharaoh. He has to knock him down a little bit. And through, he sends plagues. He sends darkness. He sends hail. He sends frogs, which the Egyptian boys probably loved. Okay? They're probably playing with all of those frogs. And so through a series of plagues, they are able to free. And so Pharaoh decides to let the Israelites go. And he says, listen, go. Get out of here. I don't want to see you. If you know your Bible, you know that the Israelites spoil Egypt. They take a lot of valuable things. They take a lot of gold, a lot of valuables, which are going to be used for the tabernacle in the future. And so Moses leads them out of Egypt. And as they get out of Egypt, what's amazing to me is God tells him to go to the Red Sea. If you have your Bible, look at this with me. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 1, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pi Haroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. But I want you to look at that first verse there. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses. Not Moses saying, let's go this way. God directly told Moses to turn and go towards the Red Sea. If you were to look at historians and what they say about this story, many of them believe Moses was headed into the desert at this point. But God turned Moses towards the Red Sea. Now, just give you an idea of what this area looked like. This is what Matthew Henry's commentary said. It said, on the one hand was Pi Haroth, a range of craggy rocks impassable. On the other hand were Migdol and Baal Zephon, which some think were forts and a garrison upon the frontiers of Egypt. Before them was the sea. Behind them were the Egyptians, so that there was no way open for them. And so the first point that I want to bring out to you this evening, the first aspect of this story that I want to show you in having faith in trials is, number one, God has put you in that place. What's amazing to me is in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 1, it says that God sent Moses in that direction. God didn't say, Moses didn't say, let's go over this direction. He didn't type in a GPS. God said, go this way. And so we have to realize when we look at this portion of scripture that God has placed them in that place. Listen, I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what your struggles are. I don't know what your ailments are. But I know that God has placed you in whatever predicament you're in for a reason. Not only has he placed you, but you're in his hands. What's amazing to me is that in this story, in these first four verses of chapter 14 of Exodus, is that it was distinctly evident that the Israelites were in God's hands. It was distinctly evident that God was taking care of them. It wasn't something that Moses decided to do on a whim. This was directly guided by God. Not only are they in God's hands, but God is with them. God is directing them. He's right by their side. Listen, you know what's comforting to me to know today? That no matter what I go through in life, that God is going to be there right beside me. God is going to hold my hand through the trials, through the struggles. Now listen, I'm not saying all this stuff just because I know it all. This is all stuff I'm learning through this process. This is all stuff that God is showing me. I have no doubt in my mind that the Israelites, when maybe they were wondering, man, why are we turning towards the Red Sea? I don't know if the little boy was shrugging on mama's coat saying, listen, why are we going this way, mama? Isn't this towards the Red Sea? You know what's evident is that God was with them. That God had been there. He's guiding them. It was in God's will for them to go in this direction. It was God's will. Not only was it in God's will, but you know what's amazing to me is that because God brought them this way, God's going to protect them. So many times in trials and struggles, we think that, man, where's God through this? Where are you at? Listen, I've been there. I've been through those struggles and those trials where I'm looking up. God, what's going on? I mean, I'm in your will. I'm trying to follow you. I'm trying to do what's right. Where are you at in this? I don't understand what's going on. God, how could you allow this? I mean, are you sure this is part of the plan here? Listen, I have no doubt in my mind that these Israelites were looking around and saying, listen, I don't know what's going on. But I believe Moses was there saying, listen, God has it under control. Listen, God is going to take care of it. In fact, we're going to see that these group of people is going to lose their faith a little bit. Okay? Not only did God protect them, but you know what's amazing to this? This is awesome. This is totally awesome. But God is teaching them something. Listen, this is trial number one here for them. They have literally, at this point, have been out of Egypt for an estimated 24 hours. That's one day. You know what's amazing? God is teaching them something in those first 24 hours. You know what God's teaching them? To trust Him. Man, God is teaching the Israelites, you got to trust me. This is just the beginning. You got to trust me through this process. You got to trust me that I know what direction you're going. I mean, I told you to go that way. I told your leader, Moses, to turn towards the Red Sea. And so God has told the Israelites, Moses, if you will, to turn. And we see that God is teaching them trust. How many of you have found out that when you're going through a trial or you're going through a struggle, that sometimes trust is hard? How many of you found that out? You know, how many of you have ever seen the trust test where you have two people and one guy is in front and another guy is behind him and they fall back into the other guy's arm? How do you know what I'm talking about here? Okay, you know what's hilarious? When someone lets a guy fall, maybe they're on a table and they're standing and they let the guy fall off the table. It's awesome, but you know God's not like that. God is not like that. God is not going to say, stand on the table and fall back. And then he lets you fall. God's not like that. Every single time, God is going to be at the other end of the table, and He's going to tell you to fall back, and He's going to be there to catch you. So many times as Christians, we think, okay, I'm following you, I'm trusting you, but man, I can't see you. That's why it's called faith. That's why it's called faith. Because it's something that is absolutely essential in every Christian's life. Because without faith, all the things that we're looking at is impossible to do, to be honest with you. Because humanly speaking, Moses just turned them in the wrong direction. Humanly speaking, Moses should have told them, should have stayed on the path towards the desert instead of the Red Sea, where he's now going to be trapped. Just logically speaking, every human person on earth that was alive at this point would have said, this is a bad turn, Moses. This is going to the Red Sea. You know that? But God is teaching them trust. Not only God is teaching them that God has put you in that place, that brings us to number two, that God is strengthening you. God is strengthening you. Back in high school, I used to be a weightlifter. No, I'm just kidding. Everyone, some of you are like, what? The teens all got it. They're like, what? There's no weightlifter. Yeah, it was called Oreos and dunking them in milk. Or in my case, it would have been chocolate milk because I don't like milk. But anyways, I'm not a weightlifter by any stretch of the imagination. But what I do know about weightlifting, what little I do know, very little, what I do know is that at first you start out with a set weight amount. In my case, it would have been 50 pounds, okay? And that 50 pounds, maybe just the bar, just to be honest with you, it may just be the bar, and I start out with the bar. You know, over time, maybe the first week I add 5 pounds to each side, now making it, 60 pounds, huh? And then another week, I add 10 more pounds, making it 70. And then another week, I add 80 pounds. Excuse me, not 80. Ten more pounds, making 80, okay? Some of you are like, I'm making sure you guys are awake, okay? 80 pounds, I'm Superman. No, I'm just kidding. All right? Every week, adding a little bit more. You know what's amazing? Is God does the exact same thing with us. At least I have found in my own personal life. Each trial, each struggle stretches me. Then I get through it. And there's a point of where it's that point of just, there's a calm. And everyone in this room knows what I'm talking about. Everything is good again. But then we go through another trial, man, and it seems like it's so much worse than the other one. And I don't know how I'm going to get through it. And we begin begging, God, help me. I need your help. I need your wisdom and guidance. And then we get through that trial. And there's that calm again. And then we go through another trial, and it's even harder than the last two. God is strengthening you. Listen, that's exactly what's happening in this portion of Scripture here that we're about to read. Drop down to verse 13 now. Verse 13. It says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Let me just pause here for a minute. If I was sitting in that crowd, and I was hearing Moses saying this, I'd be looking back at the Egyptians and the smoke, the dust storm that's billowing up because the chariots are heading towards me. I would be questioning Moses at this point. I'd be like, right, okay, we're going to see the Egyptians no more. Moses, do you see there's a Red Sea right here? Do you see that there's a ocean in front of us? Where are we going to go? No doubt, that's what the Israelites are thinking. Put yourself in their shoes. That's what they're thinking at this point. They're thinking there is no way that we're going to get through this. But we have a God. That's awesome. Look at verse 14. Look what Moses said. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Moses saying, listen, you're not going to have to do a single thing. God's going to do the work. Verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward, but lift up thou thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. This is God. God is teaching, this is a twofold lesson here, I believe. God is teaching the Israelites, but he's also teaching the Egyptians at the same time. Okay? Look at what he says in verse 17. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of the Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all the night. So this whole thing was taking a whole, this whole thing of crossing the Red Sea was going to take a whole night to get through. And we see that there's a pillar of fire between the Egyptians and the Israelites, therefore allowing the Israelites to go across the Red Sea. God is strengthening the Israelites. You know what's amazing to me is that these Israelites are facing this struggle. They're going through this trial, and God is teaching them, and God is strengthening them. You know what God is strengthening them for? What's on the other side of the Red Sea? God is teaching these Israelites that there is something that is much harder on the other side of this Red Sea. Listen, you know what God is teaching you as you go through your struggle or you go through your trial? God is going to teach you that there will be harder battles to face on the other side of that trial. Listen, you may say this evening, you know, I'm not in a trial. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. I'm happy for you. You may say this evening, man, I'm in the midst of one. I'm praying for you. I sincerely say that because trials and struggles are not fun. Cancer, health ailments, financial problems, health for children, maybe a wayward child. Those are all very real things that all of us face. Listen, those are trials. God is teaching you. As hard as it is, God is trying to strengthen you. Not only is he trying to strengthen you, but he's trying to prepare you for the next trial that you will face one day. Because what you're learning in this trial right now is going to be fundamental for what you're going to face in the next one. I used to coach soccer for 3 years. And I did a lot of middle school and high school soccer. The first thing I start with the middle schoolers is the fundamentals, the basics. Because if they don't know the basics, they don't know how to play the game. Listen, the same thing is in the Christian life. God is trying to teach us the fundamentals, the basics. This way, we can do better in the next trial. This way, we can face the next trial with grace. With grace. Because people are watching us. Not only are the battles going to be harder on the other side of the Red Sea for these Israelites, but the battle is going to be longer for the Israelites. There will be battles that will be longer. There will be wars that they will face that will be longer than a 24-hour period. They're going to face opposition. And God is teaching them through these trials, through this strengthening process, that he is God, that he's going to take care of them. This way, when they come to the next trial, God has already prepared them. God has already equipped them for what they need. God has already given them tools they need for the job, because they face something similar in the last trial. Listen, what's amazing to me is God equips us for what we face. He gives us the tools and the grace for what we're going to face. No one, I honestly believe everyone is equipped for what they're going to face if they pay attention, if they listen and they take a spirit of, God, what are you trying to teach me? Now, that brings us to the last aspect that we're going to look at tonight. If you have your Bible, go ahead and look at verse 21. Verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the hosts of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire. God sees what's happening. God, you know, let me just pause here for a minute. God sees the other army on the other side waiting for to get the Israelites. Don't think that when you go through a trial or you go through a struggle, that God doesn't see it. He knows. Continuing on. And the Lord, verse 26. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come up again, may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servants. So these Israelites, God parts the sea, and we see the Israelites walk on dry land. We see the Israelites cross the Red Sea through the night. And then at the first break of the morning, the Bible says that the waters, the pillar went up back into the air, and the Egyptians began to pursue after the Israelites into the Red Sea. And though, as you know, the Egyptians pursued, and the water came crashing down on the Egyptians. You know what God is teaching us here? You know what God is teaching the Israelites here? That God's going to guide them. God will guide them. God will guide you. Listen, God knows what you're going through. You know what's amazing to me is there's 8 billion people on this planet. 8 billion. And God knows exactly what's happening in each and every single one of every single life. There's nothing that happens that he doesn't know. The Bible says that he knows if there's a sparrow that falls from the air. God knows what you're going through. God knows what you're facing. God knows what you're up against. And God wants to guide you. You know what God, you know what the Israelites learned is that through this struggle, through this trial, that they are to have faith in God and that God is guiding them every step of the way. Every step of the way through the Red Sea, God was there. He was holding up the waters for them. Isn't that awesome? That God was there holding the waters for them to cross on dry land. Not only did he hold the waters, but he blew the water out of the sand so they didn't have to get their feet wet. Because there's nothing worse than walking through muddy sand. It's horrible. Or mud, period. Okay? And so God was guiding them. Listen, so many times as Christians, we ask God, please help me get out of this. Right? How many of you have done that? I've done it. God, help me get through this. You know what we should be asking God? What are you trying to teach me? God, what are you trying to show me through this process? Because that's what it is. That struggle, that trial is a process. He's trying to teach you something. And as God is leading you through that trial, that struggle, He's trying to show you that you're to be asking God, what do you want me to learn from this? You know what my biggest fear is? Can I just be transparent with you? Is that I go through a struggle, I go through a trial, and I don't get it. And I miss it. I totally blow it. And through that trial and through that struggle, I'm more mad at God through it than I am having a teaching spirit. You know what happens a lot of times if I have that kind of spirit, at least from what I've noticed? That God has to lets me retake the test, which is a bummer, okay? If you've been in school and a teacher says, and they give that paper back to you and it's just riddled with red. I mean, the paper is bleeding. It's literally bleeding, okay? And the teacher says, listen, this is unnecessary. Retake it. That's a bummer. I'm just going to be honest with you. There's no other way to say it. It's no fun. But you know what's a blessing? Is when we go through, when the teacher gives me a test, and it comes back with a good grade on it. That's awesome. I'm like, yes, I got it. This little simple brain got it. And I'm pretty excited about it. But let me also say this, with the analogy of taking a test. Okay? You remember being in grade school, right? Everyone remember being in grade school? High school, grade school, college. Okay? When you take a test, let me just pause for a minute. When you take a test, does the teacher stand there and lecture you on what you're to be writing down? No. 100% of the time, it's what? Dead silent, right? I mean, if you're caught looking at someone else's paper, you're in trouble. The teacher's not giving you the answers. The teacher's not talking. In fact, the teacher's probably sitting at the desk quietly watching you. You know, God is the exact same way. Because God gives you the test, and He lets you take it, and He sits on the side to see how you're going to do. He's not going to give you the answers. He's not going to help you through it. Excuse me. He'll give you the grace, and He equips us, but He's not going to stand there. He's going to let you make your own decisions, if you will. Okay, does that make sense? Everyone understand? But He's still there. So many times when we go through a struggle or we go through a trial, we're asking God, where are you at? Where are you at? But in all actuality, He's right there with you. Just like when your teacher gives you a test in grade school, that teacher's still in the room. God is still in the room even though you're taking that struggle. God's still in the room even though you're still taking that trial. He knows what you're going through. Listen, these Israelites knew what they were going through when they were going through this struggle. God was still in the room. God was teaching them. Not only should we ask God to help us to learn what He's trying to teach us, but we should have faith. Listen, going back to where we started, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, and Hebrews chapter 6, God is saying faith. When we make those decisions that are based upon the Word of God, we're having faith in God. Listen, I believe every struggle, every trial, we have the opportunity to respond incorrectly or correctly. And when we respond correctly, we're showing faith in God that we're going to do what's right, regardless of what the circumstance may be. We're going to do what's right regardless of what the outcome may be. Listen, I believe there's a song that says, a little kid's song, that says, do right till the stars fall, or something like that. How many of you know what song I'm talking about? Okay, my little girls go around singing it. But that's a great principle to live by. Do right regardless of what you're going through. Now, you may be saying this evening, okay. You know, I kind of fell asleep, you know, been a long day, kind of worked, you know, 8-12 hours. You know, I'm right there with you. I understand what you're talking about. Can you sum it up for me? because it kind of phased out a little bit on maybe point one or two, maybe all point one through three. I kind of phased out. Can you sum it up for me? Absolutely. And here it is. Here it is. If you get nothing out of this message except for this, here's what I want you to know. Here's the point. In order to learn faith, many times God has to take us to a place that we cannot see in order to teach us about faith. In order to learn faith, many times God has to take us to a place that we cannot see in order to teach us about faith. For instance, if God says, you know what? I want you to pastor one day, okay? I may be like, man, I don't know about that. That means changing my whole career direction. You may have in your mind, you know what, I wanted to make millions of dollars, praise the Lord, if you're dreaming like that, okay, and doing whatever, okay, starting a business, playing a sport, whatever, okay, you want to make a lot of money. And all of a sudden God says, you know what, I want you to change your direction. Faith is when you decide, I'm going to go to a Bible college. Faith is when you decide that you're going to step out and you don't know what the end result is. Everyone in this room has made decisions like that, whether it be financial and giving to church, and a lot of you in this room do, because we wouldn't be in a building like this. We wouldn't be building a building like we're building behind us. A lot of you stepped out in faith. And you didn't know what the outcome was going to be if you gave this much amount. You didn't know what would happen if you would give this much. Or you didn't know that if you stepped out in faith and decided to make a career change, you didn't know what the end result was going to be. Listen, what God was asking the Israelites to do, and summing it up, he was asking them to step out in faith so that he could teach them about faith. Sounds like it's misdirected, but it's not. Because so many times in our life, through trials and struggles, God is asking you, trust me with this. Trust me with it. You trust me with it, I will guide you through it. I'll show you the next step. And a lot of times, let me just say this, a lot of times that next step is the only step you see. A lot of times, God asks you to take that first step, and you don't know what the next one's going to be. A lot of times. God has trusted you with a gift. With a gift. Because he sees that you're strong enough to face it. That's awesome. That's awesome that God has seen you strong enough, faithful enough to handle that trial. And so he's given it to you. So my challenge to you this evening is that when you enter into a struggle, a trial, have faith through it. Remember this story of the Israelites. Remember the story of when Moses was faced with impossible odds. And he didn't know where he was going to turn. And he didn't know... Moses didn't know that God was going to split the Red Sea open. He simply followed. He simply followed. He didn't know that. But because he did, he saw a miracle. In closing, and many times, we go through struggles because there's a miracle at the end. And you can't get to that miracle unless you go through Egypt or you go through the Red Sea. And so I challenge you this evening, allow God to work through you and for you through your struggle and through your trial. With all heads bowed, eyes closed, I'm going to give it over to Brother Vestal.